Welcome to Food Joy Club. This is where we get to try different foods, explore what we like, what we don't like, new things we've never tried before. Today, we're taking a look at some curries from places that are most famous for them. So we have a Japanese curry, we have a Malaysian curry, a Thai curry, and of course, an Indian curry. And so we've got different approaches to it. We're really keen to try it out. All right, I'm Michael. I started Food Joy Club and, as can be told, really enjoy food.
I also really enjoy food. I'm Annie. I have absolutely no qualifications other than I enjoy it. And I actually did work for a food-based tech company a few years back. But other than that, I am an official taster of food and guest for today.
Excellent. My only connection professionally to food is just being a waiter and bartender way back when to pay the bills in college.
That'll do it.
All right. So where do you want to start first?
So I'm actually going to start us off with a bit of a hot take.
Okay. Bring the hot take.
I think we should start from the mildest or simplest form of curry to what is, in my opinion, the most complex curries. So I think we should start with the Japanese and then the Malaysian and then possibly Thai or Indian. One of those two could take top spot, in my opinion.
So this is vindaloo. So I'm thinking this might be the thing to leave for last. Ideally, it should be really full of flavor, pretty spicy. If you go to anything after, that's not going to taste like much. So I think what you've got in mind is the way to go.
Let's do it.
Let's kick into it.
All right. Can we see that there? Try and make sure that doesn't
flop off. Yes, a beautiful Japanese curry with, I think it's a pork cutlet, shrimp, and then, of course, egg as well.
Yeah, and I see it's got a little sausage there as well,
just for good measure. Just for extra. You never can have, too much there. All right.
And Michael, you're a vegetarian, right?
Yes.
So tell us about this experience for you.
It obviously poses a lot of challenges with eating, particularly since I lived in Asia for so long, because a lot of stuff is meat-based, right? Either like in a broth or just sort of the main event, the thing that brings flavor. So it's always been challenging. The fact of the matter is, like, although I try and avoid meat, I'm accustomed to sort of eating around it. And I love flavor. And so at some point I had to make some sort of compromise. And so it's mostly like, we'll eat the things that aren't meat and pretend that it doesn't have any relationship with the meat bits. And so that's what I'm going to go with here. I do eat egg and dairy, so I will have some of this.
So I'm getting a little bit of a head start. So I'm going to dive into this pork cutlet here. And this place that you order from, Michael, they're known for different spice levels, right?
I believe so. This one, I just got whatever stock standard was. Mm. For a Japanese curry, I don't expect much spice. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I'm getting any, I was a little surprised because oftentimes it just goes with straight mild. The Japanese curries that I've had tend to be just savory. Mm. And this one's sort of matching that so far.
I mean, I've been to some Japanese curry chains and a lot of them will have levels like 1 to 10 of spiciness. Mm-hmm. And usually the darker the curry gets, the spicier it gets.
Okay.
So I was a little worried there because this curry looked pretty dark when I was actually not spicy.
The classic curry that I had, like Hong Kong, China, and Japan, was usually more like a golden brown, like very classic color, which is very nice, but it tends to just be savory, unless you ask specifically for something spicy. So first thoughts on flavor, the texture?
Firstly, I am a meat eater. And that pork cutlet, I will say as a side note, is delicious. Mm-hmm. Curry flavor, standard Japanese curry, on the mild end. It's great. It goes with rice. It goes with any sort of meat. And you could have gotten a vegetable option maybe
as well. I sort of figured we'd get the classic.
Yeah.
But these two, they're both vegetarian. That's tofu.
Yeah.
This has tofu. This one has lamb. I sort of figured let's just go with that. So I've mixed it up a little bit today to kind of make sure everyone gets something different to try.
That's right. So why don't I try some of this shrimp with the curry and see if that experience is any different.
A little different, yeah. I mean, I tried, the egg and rice. It's pretty standard, honestly. Like, it's very pleasant. It's a little like thicker than, like, in terms of like the consistency.
Did I just steal your spoon there?
Oh no, It's everyone's food.
It's everybody's food.
Yeah, exactly. What's you know, what's yours is yours, and what's mine is yours. So it'll work. But yeah, no, it's pretty nice though. For someone who like isn't accustomed to curry, she doesn't even know what Japanese curry is, I think it's a pretty good option.
To start with?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Particularly also if they're not sure like how spicy they like. I believe you and I both like spicy food. And I don't know what that's going to come in at, but for both of these, I got whatever the standard is, and I got the maximum allowed. So for the green Thai curry.
All right.
Yeah. They only go up to a 5, and that's what I got. I think eat in the restaurant, there is Thai spicy, so like a level 6, but they always strongly discourage that.
Mm.
But I'm...
They discourage it for some people? Selective?
I suspect they do have their criteria that they use to determine who they discourage. I mean, I know whenever I go to a Chinese restaurant, like oftentimes I'm like, oh no, I want spicy. Like, oh, well, you know, this is spicy, sir. Are you sure? And usually I kind of cut through that conversation just by responding directly in Chinese. And that sort of like, okay, got it, noted. Same thing happened to me when I went to this dessert shop. I think it was in Jackson Heights. I'm not sure. And they offered durian. Now, I love durian. Love durian. Like, first moment I tried it, didn't even know what it was in China. Loved it. But obviously, me looking as I do, going up, saying I'd like this durian milkshake, they're like, sir, do you know what durian is? And like in China and other places, I would get that sort of question all the time. And so again, just straight into it, it's like, yeah, no, in Chinese, I really like durian. I understand. It'd be grand if you could just give me that. And the entire restaurant just sort of exploded in laughter after hearing that. And they're like, okay, sir, no problem. Coming right out.
I will tell you, durian is one episode I will not be joining.
No.
I have tried it. I tried it for the first time when I lived in Singapore. And it wasn't for me. I wish I could say I understand why people like it, but I couldn't even say that.
Yeah.
Don't at me.
No. It's like a love it or hate it. And there are people who say they're in between. Is like, I think you secretly just don't like it, but you're being polite. Like, I do think it's like one thing or that's binary. But those who love it, like myself, I think genuinely just really like it. And those who don't, they're like, oh, this tastes a bit like petroleum. It's like, oh, I had no idea what petroleum tastes like.
To each their own. I will say one more thing about this curry. I think so far I'm enjoying it with the pork cutlet the best. Mm-hmm. I think with a curry, it's just you need something with a bit more texture to go with it, right? Other than the rice. And so let's see it with that
try
sausage.
It with some of this vegetables. I'll have to pull them out the hard way. What is this anyway? Oh, some sort of cabbage. So to see what it's like. Yeah, to me, this is just super classic. What you'd have at like a Japanese sort of curry place, like for lunch or something.
Yeah, I think you just can't go wrong with a classic pork cutlet.
Yeah.
No, that's honestly the way to go.
All right.
All right.
Now what do we do with this stuff? Is this our excess bowl or we just make a monstrosity?
It's up to you.
I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay.
Just like...
Although I'm going to start with this bowl and make
this. Oh, you know what? Because the curry is a bit of a pain. I think that's a smart move. So now we've got our bits separated. This is sort of like IKEA lunch, right? Where they give you all the separate parts and you have to put them together. So how do we want to go about this?
I've actually never had this dish before. So can you explain it a little bit more? What was it called on the menu?
That's a great question. I should have looked that up.
We're going to find out with our taste buds.
Yeah, exactly. For next time, definitely going to make sure I have all the names. Everything else I knew, but this one. Mm. And even though I've had a lot of, say, like Singaporean food, which is some, you know, there's a lot of overlap between Malaysian. I haven't had a ton of this.
Hmm.
But basically, this looked like kind of like a classic thing they had on the menu. It sounded solid. I almost wanted to get laksa, but I was like, I don't think that's a proper curry.
I would not qualify that as a curry, but you know, I was thinking about that before I came today. What actually is a curry? Because when I was doing a little bit of research on this, I don't think there's a singular definition for it. It comes in so many different forms and obviously so many different cultures as well that it's really hard to nail down.
I mean, like off the top of my head, I'd be like, you're probably thinking like a thicker, like sort of, I guess, broth or gravy, right, tends to be fairly flavorful, that sort of thing, like versus like a soup, right? Where is the line between soup and curry? That's really...
But,
and I feel like laksa is on the soup side.
Yes, I would say so. Laksa is more of a noodle soup, but then you have dry curries as well, right? So how do you place that?
Yeah, like dry curries, it just... Yeah, I could say it just has less water. It's like, yes, Michael, that is the definition of dry. Like, I think of what's one of the ones you might think of, like palak paneer. Is that a dry curry or not really? I mean, not dry enough?
I'm not sure, actually.
There's a spectrum here.
Well, there's definitely a spectrum.
You know what? I think we can trust the comment section to help sort us out. So
there might be some very angry people in there, but we'll see.
That's all right. Look forward to the very thoughtful commentary and learning a little bit about food and humanity at the same time.
So you said this is something we have to construct together.
Yeah, yeah. I think basically we just put this with this.
Oh, we're pouring it in.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to let you do the honors.
the dubious task of... I'm just sort of seeing what's in. Oh man, this is gonna be a hot mess. Is what it's gonna be.
Here's what it looked like before.
Oh yeah,
right.
And we'll show you what it looks like after. I will attempt to be thoughtful with how I'm doing this. Oh, this is not so bad so far, right?
You got it.
I got this.
It's just confidence. That's all it is.
Oh, if it was confidence, then this would not be going as well as it is. All right, I think I've gotten plenty. Dig in. So this is. I believe full vegetarian. So,
all right,
here.
I'm gonna let you do the get first bite this time.
All right. Well, I'm gonna take bits and pieces of it. Right. Oh, we've got some aubergine. Get that. Ta-da. Oh, that might actually be a meat bit. Now that I look at it,
that
like
thing
kukwa.
On the bottom is a kukwa with some meat in the middle. Do you eat kukwa?
I mean, I do. It's definitely not one of my top 100 foods.
Top 100?
No, it's definitely not. It's like, okay, so like, for those who don't know, kukwa is, in English is bitter melon. And it has like, bitter isn't even quite the word. Oh, wait, those are.
I mean, that is literally what it means, okay. But I think it's sorry,
go for
that
it.
Was yours. That I think is bitter than bitter, honestly.
Well, it's got the, like, astringent. That's the term, that's the word.
Astringent.
Exactly.
Ooh, we are bringing our
I know.
Keywords here today.
Yeah, it's like, it's bitter, but like there's something else going on. Maybe in the same way, like hops has a thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you have something that's just pure hops, like there's no depth to it, it is not pleasant to drink. You just taste that, like, I don't know, direct. As much as someone who likes, say, a hoppier beer, I was like, yeah, this is not enjoyable to eat. Or to drink, rather.
Mm. You're talking to a non-beer drinker here,
I won't be doing that one. So durian and beer, not on the list.
Not on the list for me.
All right,
let's see.
All right, so not spicy. In fact, even less spicy than, I think. Yeah, there's almost none in there.
It's not spicy.
But it is flavorful.
Very flavorful. And honestly, I would prefer it over... what we just had. I would have loved to get some noodles in there and maybe some fish balls.
It's starting to sound a lot like more like a laksa.
It is. And I'm wondering if this place is using the same base for different dishes.
Because this is a little thinner. Like it's
quite thin.
It's pleasant, but like the more I'm eating it, I'm just like, this is just kind of like a different flavor of this. Yeah, you add in the fish bowls and a few other things.
Right.
And you got it. That's
yeah,
enjoyable.
Honestly, I think anyone can eat this.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you like, you really can't handle capsaicin at all. Like, I think this is going to be enjoyable to eat.
I think I've already killed maybe 10% of my taste buds. So I really wouldn't classify this as anywhere on the spice charts, which makes me think, can we consider it a curry if it's not spicy?
Well, not all curries are spicy, I think.
What examples do you have?
Well, I'd just say like any curry can be spicy or non-spicy. But I think it's like some Indian ones. Like obviously, I think people think Indian food is spicy and a ton of Indian food is spicy. But not all Indians eat spicy food. And so a lot of times certain curries or even versions of it will be made with less or almost no like chilies in it. So I don't know. I mean, we could, you know, again, see what folks think on this one. In order to be a curry, it doesn't need to be spicy. But then I would say classic Japanese curry tends not to be spicy.
Mm-hmm.
And we would definitely call it a curry. Yeah. I think overall, yeah, I enjoy eating this more than the Japanese one. Like, the Japanese mm-hmm. is pleasant. Like, for an easy lunch, I'm like, yeah, I definitely like it. But this one, the only real complaint is this, I assume it's tofu skin, mm-hmm. is fried a little too tough.
Mm.
Maybe it's just been sitting in it a little bit, you know, too long. But it's almost got like a chew to it rather than like a crisp and softness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my only, we'll call it gripe about it. But otherwise, I enjoy it. What do you think?
You know, I'm going to leave the veggie critiques to you. I see what you're saying. But I think overall flavor was great. And you know what it is? I think I'm also a little biased because this is the type of food that I grew up on.
Mm.
So I'm going to say this right now at the end of all of this. I'm probably going to say this is my favorite. What do you think?
In terms of what I'm going to like most?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be that.
That might be a close second for me, but we'll see.
Because I anticipate it's going to have like the spice, complexity, depth of flavor that I like.
Mm.
Like, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy all of these, but this might be the number two just on flavor, but we'll see. We'll
okay,
see about
we
that.
Might be getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Exactly. Let's scoot that back over there in its proper place.
Oh, this will be easy.
Yeah, yeah. No, God, this is going to be a monstrosity, though. Like,
we should have a competition at the end.
It's like jungle juice version, or a curry version of like jungle juice or something. You know,
I'm familiar with the term jungle juice. Do kids these days still do that?
Probably. Is it still a bad idea? Then they're probably doing
for
it.
Sure. Maybe. But what do you think they call it these days? Because I feel like they've got to have a new term for it. There's no way they're using a millennial term.
I don't know. No, there's no way. And I'm an elder millennial at that. So, you know, I have no idea.
We'll have to look it up afterwards.
Yeah. So next on our list, we've got a Thai green curry. And when I ordered this, I asked for maximum spice, or at least the one they would let me do, which was 5. That was the top one. It should be pretty classic, like with the vegetables. This one has tofu. This is the other vegetarian option that I got. Pretty straightforward. We throw on rice, we throw the curry on top, and see how we feel about it.
Let's see how we feel. Now, question. Did you order this in person or on the phone?
Online.
Online.
Exactly.
Right.
But they probably see Michael and they're like, I don't know.
Michael.
Sus. All right. Oh, I'll let you have the honors this time.
All right.
Dig in.
Now, one thing with curry is mm-hmm. you got to have it with rice. That's a non-negotiable for me.
I had a Singaporean friend. And he, huge foodie, which is part of why we were friends.
I think Singaporean and foodie is synonymous.
They do tend to go together. I have yet to get to know Singaporeans that do not enjoy food. Like, I don't think that's allowed.
No.
But he was talking about this. It's like, well, yeah, because you have all these sort of sauces, curries, whatever, that are really strong flavors. They tend to be a little saltier, like all, you know, like fat, whether it's coconut milk or something else. You need something mild to either both sop it up and to sort of balance it. And so something like a white rice is like, that makes so much sense. Because you wouldn't typically like sit there and just eat this directly.
I'm sure some people have tried.
I'm sure plenty of people. There's always somebody, right? If someone's thought about it, there's someone doing it.
Oh, tell us what's on the bottom here.
So that's a faux duck.
A faux duck.
Exactly. I thought I'd try something a little fancy. I thought it was
today. Tofu,
but yeah, I forgot. Yeah, so it's going to have a bit of texture to it and all that sort of stuff. All right, I'll dig in myself.
I actually tried making a green curry once. I did
like
cheat.
From scratch, or do you use like some?
Well,
of those...
see, what's your definition of from scratch?
Like you, the paste that's used, right? That you took all those ingredients and put it together yourself.
I bought the paste.
No, I would do the same. It's too much trouble.
I bought the paste, but, you know, there's still some effort required behind that.
Sure.
And I would say it came out a lot better than I thought it would. It tasted pretty, I would say, comparable to the restaurants in New York. That's all I have to say. I will never claim to say it is authentic.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fine, though. Yeah. And I find in general, like when it comes to Thai food, it's very hit or miss in New York City. Mm. You've got a lot of places to do your classic pad Thai and what's it, drunken noodle or whatever. And it's fine, like if you're looking for something specific, to find something that I would call like authentic. Like if you, I know you spent time out in Asia as well, so you're familiar. It's like if you're looking for that, it's a little more difficult to find mm-hmm. for it to be done well.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Solid green curry. Would not call that a five.
No. But this is the one, this is by far the spiciest we've had so far.
Yes.
I mean, out of 10, I wouldn't give either of those more than a 2. Mm-hmm. This is coming in, I don't know where. What are you feeling on the spice level?
What is the end of the level? Is it the most spiciest thing I've ever had?
No, just like, if you were just like in a very general way, right? If it's a 1 to 10 spectrum, 10 being probably about as spicy as it's going to get, while still being edible.
I'd say this is maybe a 5.
Yeah, it's moderate.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
If spicy is not your thing, you're not going to enjoy it. If it is, then you're going to be like, oh, this is pleasantly spicy. I like the texture of the faux duck. It's nice.
Have you had real duck before, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably 30 years ago. I do not remember it very well. I remember it being very oily or greasy or something like that.
I can tell because it does not have resemblance to duck.
Oh, no, I just like the texture. I don't know if it has duck texture. I'm definitely the wrong person to ask. I just think it's a pleasant texture. That's something I definitely picked up while living in China for so long, is an like a greater appreciation for texture in food.
It's so important. And I think that's why when I cook at home, I'm more often than not a little disappointed. Maybe disappointed is the wrong word, but by the time I get to the end of my meal, it feels a little bit one note. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because there's less variety than I would find if I actually went to a restaurant. They had 10 ingredients in a dish, whereas at home, I would probably make the effort to just use 3 or 4, yeah. Right?
Right, yeah. So sometimes you're like, okay, I went to this restaurant. What do they offer that I probably couldn't have done at home? Mm-hmm. Like oftentimes when I'm going to a restaurant, it's like, I want it to be something I really can't make at home, or it's too much trouble, or...
What is your philosophy on that? Would you go to a restaurant where they offered something that you liked, but you knew you could replicate at home?
Like in principle, like, I mean, just because I can make it doesn't mean I want to put in the effort to do it. I could say I'm busy or it's been a long day or whatever. Sometimes it's nice to sit down and it comes to you.
Yeah.
But there's certain things, like, I think that's why I struggle with a lot of Chinese food. They're like, oh, it's going to be $20 for like this basic like noodle dish or stir fry or something like that. I'm like, man, I can make this at home. It's going to be at least as good. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the cuisine as well. If it's something I'm more familiar with Chinese is definitely the case, then yeah. Like getting, say, like an Indian dal is also, because I make those all the time. Mm. They're cheap and easy to make. They just take a little bit of time, and they can be super tasty. So it would be something that I just don't know how to make very well. That really is why I'd want to go to the restaurant.
Yeah, I'm same here with me.
I mean, overall, the flavor is pleasant. You know, spice, it's pretty standard-ish.
Mm-hmm. Very standard. Enjoyable.
Yeah.
Something that I would have after a long day at work mm-hmm. that I didn't want to think, and it's comforting.
Yeah, no, for sure. No complaints, no rave reviews either.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I love Thai food in general, though.
What's one of your favorite dishes?
Probably a tom yum. I've had some great ones out in Thailand that made me cry. But I have no regrets. It was great. Highlight of my life.
I think one of the best things, this was usually when I was in China, I'd be going to like Hunan or Sichuan, which are known, as you know, for the spicy food. And I'd be at these big dinners and it'd be very spicy and everyone's like basically blowing their nose and wiping their face and all that sort of stuff. Everyone's like, oh, this is delicious, right? And we all agree, it's like, it's super tasty. There was this one guy who basically, he'd started losing his hair and he just sort of shaved it off. So at the end of this, he just takes a cloth and wipes his
head. That's easy cleanup for sure.
Exactly. But you just, you know, it'd be like these tables of like 20 or 30 people, and you just hear everyone blowing their nose, and like, this is amazing.
What's the worst experience that you've had eating something spicy?
Like once or twice it happened where I don't know what they added. It was this thing that was not pleasant to eat, and the body was having some sort of like actual unpleasant reaction. Like, I was just like, it was not having a good time. I don't know what it was. I think they just either a certain type of pepper or like too much of it or something like that. And mind you, like I basically never meet something where I'm just like, oh, it's just too spicy. Like this, you know, spicy, but yeah, I was probably the worst one. There was this random noodle thing I got in Beijing early on.
Oh, some sort of street. I wouldn't have expected that. Beijing.
No, yeah. I don't even know what it was, but I took it back to my place. It was like later at night. And just I felt so uncomfortable like while eating it. I had to stop. I was just like, I don't know what's going on here. I think I'm gonna pass on the rest of this thing.
Well, good thing your bed was probably 2 feet away.
Yeah, well, no, I was fine. I think it was also summer, so it was super hot and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
I am noticing the sweat droplets starting to formulate here.
Part of it is I never cooled off since picking this stuff up. So even when I came back here, you probably noticed, it's like I went all the way down to Savor to grab this, and then I went over to a place nearby to grab this.
So, and let me say, we appreciate your efforts.
My efforts? Oh, this is fine. We have to have the food, you know?
It's kind of central to this whole thing.
It is, you know, part of the joy.
Yeah. Always be selling.
But no, I mean, again, being in like East Asia, Southeast Asia, like everyone eats this stuff, then everyone's sweating. It's just like a normal part of it. It's only if like you're like, no, I'm uncomfortable or I just don't enjoy this. That's the issue. Street food is amazing. I always enjoy that. You just say spicy. You don't ask too many questions, particularly if you don't want too many answers. Definitely did a lot of that. I think me not eating meat saved my bacon more than a few times. Mm. A lot of that meat was very ropey. Mm. And so the fact that, because I would go out with some folks and they wouldn't feel so great the next day, I'd be like, oh, I was fine. But then sometimes you get it anyway because they're using the same grill for everything.
For sure. No,
but look, if it's like 30 cents for whatever you're getting and it's on the streets, it's like, you know what you're signing up for. So don't be too surprised.
That's right.
But in general, I had a good time there. So we enjoyed this. Spicy so far, sort of smack dab in the middle in terms of it delivers exactly what it should. Nothing exceptional. Yeah?
Let's move on.
All right. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right. So this is Lamb Vindaloo from Savor. It's not too far because we're in Astoria, so it's like a 10-ish minute walk or something. Ideally, this should be spicy. So we'll see how it is. Obviously, rice is requisite. So bring it on over. Yeah. Give it a space. Okay. Now we're just going to dig in. Guess I'll get rice first, speaking of which. Ta-da! Come on in here.
What is your favorite type of rice?
Oh, biryani. I don't know if that counts because you've done so much to it at that point.
Yeah, that's really its own type of dish at that point.
Yeah. I will say that in general, like a lot of the white rices used in East and Southeast Asia aren't my favorite. Mm. I like a lot of the varietals that are used in South Asian cooking. Mm. But then like you've got tons of places in Southeast Asia that like add coconut or some other thing, mm-hmm. and that's super nice.
Yeah, what's the line between when rice becomes its own dish?
What is a
right?
curry? What is rice?
What is anything?
these are the great questions of our time.
You can get a good chunk of, is this lamb in here?
That's right.
All right.
I figured if I was going meat. I'm sure some vegetarians are definitely going to judge me harshly for this. It's like, you know what, guys? Life's too short, and I will survive. I'm really just here for the flavor, to be honest. All right, I got a little bit.
Should we do this one together?
Yeah. All right, here.
All right.
Mm-hmm. This is probably the spiciest.
I don't think I had enough of that curry in that first bite. I'm sure people are probably judging me. Mm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Decent amount there. All right, just to prove myself.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, yeah, like I said, nice depth of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tomato-based-ish.
Well, we're not here to be food experts. We're just having fun here, right? I would say this is not the spiciest vindaloo I've
ever had. I've had spicier.
But it's definitely starting to make me sweat.
See, that's how you know it's good. That's the true sign.
Just that one criteria?
Enjoyment. Well, like if something's properly spicy, you have that physiological reaction, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not sweating or whatever, it's like, it's probably not really that spicy.
There you go.
That's a sign.
All right. Is it time to rank our top?
Soon. I'm thinking, like, overall, like, so you said, okay, so you've had other vindaloo before. How does this compare? Like, compared to other ones you've had?
I think it's solid. There's a bit of flavor that I think it's missing. I can't tell what it is.
I have no idea. I haven't had a lot of vindaloo, to be honest. Because usually it comes with meat, so I haven't bothered.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to keep having it. I think this is my favorite. But you know what we're going to do? You know what it's time for? I think it's time where we start mixing and matching.
Oh, it's just, wait.
Is it?
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
I'm going to do that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab a bit of egg from our Japanese bowl here. Because I'd love to taste
I'm coming back
curry.
To this, to be honest.
I one think that this, you this, said that wasn't your favorite.
It's not my favorite, but it's my number two. Like that ended up being the case.
It ended
it's
up being
one,
number two.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I mean, like these Southeast Asian like flavors like, you know, Singapore, Malaysia. I don't know how much you get for like Indonesia. That's one I wanted to get, but didn't end up. I mean, any coconut-based curry I like, which is probably why these both land pretty well for me. All right. So now this is time to, I guess we'll just sort of soak in the sauce. We'll see how it's different.
Are you mixing the curries together?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I like that. I like just the variety of things. I think maybe that's what was missing in the vindaloo before.
I think the vindaloo is too dominant for that.
Hmm.
It is good because obviously this alone didn't have any of that. But when I had like the coconut and the vindaloo sort of sauce together, I really just tasted vindaloo.
That's fair. And, you know, I'm going to have to eat my words here because that heat is starting to build. Mm-hmm. It's.
I kept having more. I was like, I'm going to regret this. But
I am definitely going to regret this.
But it's tasty. And that's the thing. It's like, I enjoy it. It's like, yes, I know I'm going to sweat and like all that sort of stuff. I was like, so what?
Whew. I think you with curry, you just got to like let the energy out because you're just taking in all this heat, right? And what's that? There's a you were saying this before. There was a physiological
like reaction.
Yes.
Basically, your body is like, why are you poisoning me?
Sure. Maybe that's it. But isn't there a physics equation or theorem? Newton's law.
There's a lot of motion. I mean, these are all things.
These are all words that I'm saying.
Yes, I acknowledge these words. Yeah, there's probably some sort of scientific something that speaks
motion,
to this.
An equal motion in one direction has to push it. It's like a pendulum, right? I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Equal force. What is it? Now I'm starting to get delirious.
It's the spice, I guess. It's the vindaloo.
Yeah, but I think my point still stands. You take in the energy and you got to give the energy back out. Whether it's in the form of adrenaline or energy, it's you got to release it.
It's got to go somewhere, right? I do enjoy this.
It's got to go somewhere.
It's like hot take science. You're welcome all. My work is done here. But something like this is also why you need dries. Because if you don't, it's just going to, like, all that capsaicin is going to hit directly on your stomach and just, like, burn a hole through it. Doesn't matter how much you like spice. There's, like, some things, it's like, yeah, it's, like, very acidic and all of that.
That's a very smart take.
Why would you eat, like, a lot of this, like, super spicy, like, mapo tofu and such, like, you know, in China? And first you want it just because it's such a strong flavor. But also you realize if you just ate all that spicy stuff and, like, a few other dishes without rice, you were going to feel it. Like, other people would be like, what are you doing not eating rice? Which made me feel like, okay, this is the proper way to do it. There's, like, a reason this is all done. It's like, yes, we enjoy this, but, like, also you need something to sop up all that different mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. You probably know the Chinese phrase, mapo tofu is one of those dishes where, like, there's a phrase that basically means it goes really well with rice. It, like, mm-hmm. helps the rice go down. Right? So it's like,
there is a phrase, typically I cannot think of it, but yeah.
Very saucy, can be spicy types of dishes, like very flavorful, essentially a curry, right? Mm-hmm. I think we found the definition of
So what's the definition?
Goes really well with rice.
I like how we had more things like,
you got it.
Tastes good. With
and
rice.
And tastes good.
Tastes good with rice. What is a curry? Tastes good with rice. Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
All right, bye now.
All right. So I know earlier I already gave you my rankings in terms of sort of all were good. Like I didn't dislike any of them. Mm. But that comes in fourth. The green Thai curry comes in at number 3. The Malaysian, we'll call it curry, comes in at number 2, and then the vindaloo at number 1.
You know, I might have to agree with you, except for the fact that I just think I really like the pork.
Okay, see, I guess I missed out on that bit.
You're missing out, Michael.
Sorry, I have failed at food joy right there.
Uh-huh. No, food joy comes in all kinds. I'm going to go back in with this. Yeah. Pork cutlet here, and yeah. Then...
Well, I know, like, meat probably adds a lot of flavor. And also, if it was still crispy when you had it, that probably is a nice texture with, like, the thick sauce and the rice and everything.
All right, here we go. Pork katsu with vindaloo sauce.
Oh, man, that's a lot going on. I also throw on, like, the coconut curry while you're at it. Japanese vindaloo.
Two thumbs up.
Okay.
Would do it again.
Well, good news. There's more bites to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, like, the most pleasant, easy-going one. Like, this one is, like, you have to be in a mood.
You definitely have to be in a mood.
You know, like, I like it. But, like, it's not something you casually, like, get for, like, a quick lunch or whatever. It's like, no, I want something, like, proper spicy. I'm in that. That's what I need. This is something you go in... Like, again, this is basically like laksa adjacent. It's like, that's a perfect lunch meal.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I want to ask you a question here.
All right.
Would you bring any of these dishes to work for lunch? Let's go. We're talking about cultural immersion.
The thing is, I would, but I have long since learned that not everyone is down with what I would bring.
Sure.
I mean, if I had my way, I'd bring durian. But
so
I know that's
going to
get
mean.
Me fired. So definitely against the rules. I like the places that I would see, like hotels and such. And they just have a sign. You can see it's like an image of a durian, just like the cross. There's like, yeah, absolutely not. I wouldn't bring this one because, like, you're just going to, like, if you're at the office, it's just people watching you sweat.
Sure. So that's more of a physical, visual reason.
It's a full sensory experience for me and them.
Yeah. Too much for everyone.
Yeah. I think these are the two, like was it office lunch friendly ones?
Mm.
This one's not bad, though.
Western office friendly.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Sorry, I assume that's what we were talking about.
No, we
New
are,
York City.
But I need to clarify because you really have to be very clear these days.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Like in China, I don't know if this is office lunch friendly, this one. I think those three would be probably fine. I don't know about this one yet. But I mean, you could just bring it. Like, if people don't like watching you sweat, that's their problem. I don't know.
give people a show.
Exactly. Or you get one of those like single person, like little meeting rooms to yourself for lunch.
And no one can use that meeting for the meeting room for the rest of the day. That needs to be aired out.
Some people, yeah, I still like have to remember that for a lot of people, their threshold for like strong scent, like scents and flavors is, mm-hmm. is relatively low. Because mm-hmm. just so many places I was in, it's like everything's a strong scent or flavor. So just like whatever. Yeah. And obviously durian is in its own little category along with yeah. like stinky tofu and some other things, right? So for me, I'm just like, yeah, unless it's like really pungent mm-hmm. and it's going to like stick in your clothes and all that sort of stuff, I personally don't care.
Yeah. And I think there are different thresholds, right?
Yeah.
But when you're comparing this to sandwich and a salad,
which I never bring, yeah.
You know, when I lived in Asia, I ate salads and sandwiches for lunch. Not all the time. Mm-hmm. I ate local Asian food too, which is what I grew up eating. Mm. And I would get made fun of for eating a salad.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Sandwich at my desk.
Because you were in Shanghai, right?
I was in Singapore.
Oh, Singapore. Oh, my bad.
For a couple years, that's right. And, you know, as we said before, Singaporeans love their food.
Yeah.
And they go out for lunch.
And like a lot of
the concept of eating a sandwich by yourself at your desk is...
You're really selling it.
It's sad.
Yeah. So in Hong Kong, that's fine, right? Because there's a big mix there, and a lot mm-hmm. of like even locals will just have that sort of thing. There's a lot of the like British chains, I can't even remember all of them, around. Mm-hmm. People go in for like a quick thing, prepackaged, you know, sandwich to have you. You've got all these cheap places where you can get a perfectly good meal for a few bucks, right, US.
I miss it so much.
Yeah, because even if I go to a place near me, like for what to me is like a very basic Chinese thing, it's like, yeah, it's going to be $15. I'm like... Yeah, all right.
It hurts. It really hurts.
Yeah. And it's also sort of like once you've kind of had the real thing and it's cheap, you come back or you come here and you have it. It's like, first of all, it's going to be much more expensive. And we'll just say quality will vary.
So you feel like that disclaimer.
Quality may vary.
Yeah.
No promises.
No promises. No but, guarantees.
But that'll be $20.
Thank you very much.
$20 for no guarantees.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So this was your idea doing sort of the curries. I know you threw in some of the ideas for places to order. I did a few as well. Like overall, do you think we had pretty good representations of each one? Or do you feel like we could do better for any or all of these?
I hesitate to say that we really represented the world's curry.
You know, definitely falling short. Even,
I would not claim that. I think even within each of these cuisines, there's so many different types of curry,
sure.
Right?
For sure.
And then there's also West African curry, Caribbean curry, Sri Lankan curry. There's just so many that I think maybe a little bit less accessible.
Yeah.
So we didn't get a chance to try that today.
Right. I think, that's the issue. It's like there's so much diversity. There's differences within, like, say, India, right? And this is already oversimplifying north versus south, right? But then different states, and you throw in, like, Sri Lankan and all this different stuff. And there's just a lot of different options, styles, qualities, right? It's like you could just, like, okay, maybe this is the better metric for us, like, lunchtime curry.
Oh,
maybe that's our metric this time. A lunchtime curry.
Is yeah.
Like, how do these stack up as like a lunchtime curry option?
I think these are great lunchtime curry options.
Same.
Very standard. The Japanese one is probably the easiest and the most transportable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we said it was a starter one, right?
Right. Because these are both obviously very saucy. And so, yeah, you need the rice. This is somewhat transportable, but... Not everyone may appreciate what you have to bring to the office when you show up with this. I sometimes forget that not everyone's down with that. It's like, but the flavor was pretty good, right? The spice was definitely there, which is what you expect from a vindaloo. I've had some where I'm just like, where's the kick?
Hmm. The kick was there.
It was there, yeah.
I had to pause for a moment.
It was
a
delayed kick.
Best believe I will be digging in more later.
I think we've got our homework cut out for us for the next things to do.
I think so.
with just all of the world's food. We'll sort of get it sorted out. We start with lunchtime curries and take it from there. Well, thank you so much, everyone. This has been fun. I hope you've enjoyed it as we sort of ran our way through some different curry options, how we feel about them. Let us know if there's some different stuff you want us to try out, how you feel about some of these yourself, if you've tried some, and what you think and what your recommendations are. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, take care and enjoy food.
The Food Joy Club podcast is brought to you by Joy Club Media. Hosted by Michael Mercel Barg. Produced and edited by Celine Williams. Music is Moonlight Drive by Junior Arante from bensound.com. For more episodes of the Food Joy Club podcast, check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and more. To support the show, leave us a review or follow us on social media.